Welcome to Valley Voices, where we bring you conversations covering all things local, from news, politics, and government to culture and community issues that are relevant to Lehigh Valley residents. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell, the executive director here at WDIY. Today's episode, we will be speaking with two area nonprofit leaders in response to a recent opinion piece that was written in the Morning Call on nonprofit accountability. My first guest is John Mark Riddle. He's the executive director of New Bethany. New Bethany offers hope and support to people who experience poverty, hunger, and homelessness, treating all people, regardless of circumstances, with dignity and care without judgment. No one who seeks help is turned away. So I want to start with the basic premise of this op-ed, because perhaps our listeners haven't read it yet. The author argues that nonprofits should be judged by whether the problem they address is actually getting smaller, not simply by how many people they serve. What was your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, hi. It's good to be here. And thank you for having a forum to actually sort of discuss this topic. I've been a nonprofit for 20 years, and I've been at New Bethany now for 8 years, and we've done a lot of really good work and have a lot more work to do. And for the 12 years before that, I was in the United Way system. Yes, so people can say like, oh, we've doubled our, you know, people who we serve, or we've doubled our staff, or now we have a higher budget than we had before. And some people might actually think that that is bad, and because really we should be solving a problem, and which means we're reducing staff, we're reducing everything. And when I read the article, really what I saw was that, well, there's a name for this. It's called impact measurement. If you're going to measure by the outcome, then there's almost a rubric for how to do that. I like to use the example of, you know, we don't do this at New Bethany, but say that an organization helps people to graduate from high school or enroll people into college. Well, then you want more, right? Mm-hmm. You want more people to graduate because that's the goal, or more people to enroll into college because that's that organization's goal. That is outcome measurement or impact measurement, because you've had a greater impact on the community because you were able to meet those goals. Well, you know, at New Bethany, our goal is to, you know, end homelessness, for example, which is kind of a tall order. And what we've found is that we have to tell people that we've doubled. We have done this. We've doubled the people that we serve. When I started at New Bethany 8 years ago, we were serving between 40 and 60 people every day in our meal center, breakfast and lunch. And now we serve breakfast and lunch, and we serve up to 150 people every single day. And that's at least double. And people need to know that, but not as a boasting. Like, that's not like, look how great we're doing. No, this is really like, no, we need to explain how serious the problems are right now in our community, and that we are meeting that need. So we don't want to have to meet that need, but we are meeting that need.
Right. So the piece suggests that an organization might ultimately demonstrate success by making itself less necessary. As you're saying, you want to eliminate homelessness. But is that a realistic standard when you're dealing with homelessness, housing instability, food insecurity? And why or why not?
I mean, it's a very common refrain, especially for nonprofit leaders, to say that you want to work yourself out of a job. I hear it all the time. I've said it myself many times. But we also need to be realistic in terms of what the gaps are in the community, and also what it would take to actually work yourself out of a job. I want to just kind of use an example of federal policy. We've seen a 10% increase just from last year to this year of people who use our food pantry. And that is because there are fewer people on the SNAP rolls or the food stamp rolls, and as fewer people are receiving, and this is due to the passage of the Big Beautiful Bill last year, that included inside of it steeper requirements for people who receive food stamps. And as that happened, either it meant people were restricted from the benefit, or it meant there was more paperwork.
Right.
And if there's more paperwork, even if you qualify, you're less likely to complete 100% of that paperwork, which also means you won't receive the food stamps.
Right.
So we've just seen more people come in and ask for food because that's easier to do. So that's not, you know, a New Bethany thing. I can't control when the federal government adds requirements or takes away the opportunity to be able to receive this benefit.
Right. So that's where it leaves us in our communities having to come up with these nonprofits, because the government resources aren't there to take care of its people.
Correct.
Okay. So where do you think accountability should lie for a nonprofit like New Bethany? What outcomes are reasonable for donors and the public to expect you to demonstrate?
So I think that the accountability should lie in community support. So no, 100% of it shouldn't be the government, for sure. And what I have seen, especially here in the Lehigh Valley, there is a huge amount of support from private philanthropists. Mm-hmm. And that matters. It matters a lot. It's probably, you know, a third, even two-thirds of the New Bethany budget, if you count businesses as well.
Right.
I can't underscore how much. Like, it does not matter what side of the political aisle you are. There are some people who think there should be more and more and more government resources, and there are others who do not think that, but put their money where their mouth is and say, that's because I believe it's my responsibility to personally give and to personally volunteer and to make sure that these problems are being helped in one way or another. So I think that it's a full community sort of solution as far as that goes.
Right. And then when you're sharing with these donors the reasoning behind why they should support, how are you measuring back what they have given to you?
So for an emergency services organization like New Bethany, we do say the number of meals and the number of beds. Now, we are building a long-term transitional program in terms of our housing. Mm-hmm. So we have started more and more saying the number of people who have graduated from our programs and received permanent housing. And that's a really big deal.
Yeah, that's an outcome we want to see.
Correct. Now, that doesn't change the number of people, which might be increasing, who come in looking for shelter in the first place. But we're able to demonstrate change from the people who come in.
Right.
Another thing we've done, you know, if perhaps this author was concerned that you're just giving food out and then that's that, you're not helping anyone. New Bethany actually has a caseworker who is assigned to the dining room, who does nothing except for talk with people who are in the dining room. People who come in for food ask us and always have asked us for a myriad of things like bus passes, I lost my ID, I want to, you know, fill out this application, but I need these documents to do so. People lose birth certificates, for example. Mm-hmm. And we can help with all of those different types of resources. And so we have someone on hand to actually help people, like, why are you here today? What can we help you with? And people are very open about saying, like, here's my situation right now.
Really?
Okay. All the way from little things like bus passes to bigger things, which is a formal case management program, which includes setting goals and saying, like, well, what do you want to have happen? You set three goals. You keep track of someone, you meet with them a couple of times, either a week or a month, depending on, you know, the severity of the case for the person, and you help them to, you know, seek a solution.
Yeah. So you can measure an outcome by how many people you've helped to provide a solution for that helps them get to the next step. Maybe it's to get a job because they now have a bus pass, or they've got a driver's license and they can get it into a car and drive themselves to work. Okay. All right. So those are all measurable. And
not to minimize the importance of a safety net. So, I mean, it should always be that even though you're successful and you have a job, you have childcare, you have a steady income, and then once in a while, a large medical bill will happen and you just need to go to the food pantry.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a dark mark on either the organization or the family.
Right. Right. That's another system that's out of your control, right? It's out of the government's control, can't do anything about the fact that somebody just had a major health diagnosis and they need to get a surgery and their health insurance maybe doesn't cover all of it.
Correct.
So it's another system that's in place that is outside of control of the nonprofit.
That's right. That's right.
So we shouldn't be measured by that. Like, oh, you had more people coming through because we had more people get in car accidents this year or whatever. Okay. So if you could respond directly to someone asking, you've been working on homelessness for decades. Why does this still exist? Why do you still have a job?
Yeah.
John Mark.
That's a great question.
What would you want them to understand?
I'd be happy to find another one.
It's not easy work, right? I mean, this is hard freaking work.
Yeah, it is. Here's the really wonderful thing about homeless services work specifically in the Lehigh Valley. Yes, our goal is to end homelessness. There is a network of homeless serving providers in the Lehigh Valley. We meet regularly. There's a quarterly meeting for all of the staff, for all of the different organizations, and also ancillary partners as well, like people who deal with a unhoused population or low-income population from time to time, but it's not their core mission. Anyone can attend these meetings. Mm-hmm. Then there's a core group of about a dozen people who receive federal funds, who meet a little bit more regularly, who are instrumental in creating the strategy across the Lehigh Valley to address homelessness. we look at individual cases. There's a common database for every single person who is unhoused. Mm-hmm. If you see someone on the street, most likely they're in the database. In fact, the most common thing that our organizations see are repeat referrals, where multiple entities will refer the same person. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, someone walks in off the street and we haven't seen this person before. It certainly happens. But eventually they find their way, because almost any door they walk into, we can do an intake, we can put them into the database. And then we have meetings, and we have weekly meetings.
Wow.
And when I say we, it's the staff who are on the ground, street outreach staff, case management staff, and we're separated into, you know, 1 week it's, you know, everyone. Another week we're talking about, we're looking at domestic violence and people who need services. From there, another week it might be veterans. And so every single week is like a different list of people that we call it case conferencing is what we call it. And we literally look at the list, who's most in need, where are the beds, and how can we get services? And so it literally is a one person at a time, and we have the list of people. Now, there's hundreds of people on the list. But just because you're on a list doesn't mean you can't self-resolve as well. Mm-hmm. So then sometimes you can quickly kind of go through the numbers that way. So all of our organizations have an intake process of you know, one or another. So we're able to actually keep track of the unhoused population across the region. The weekly meetings that I just described to you is relatively new. Mm. We've always had the network meetings. We've always, you know, managed the funding by satisfying the government grants. And we as a network have not been satisfied that we're helping enough to reduce homelessness in the Lehigh Valley, which is why we put our heads together about 1 year ago to change our strategy. Mm. We went from monthly meetings to weekly meetings for this case conferencing. Hmm. And so by subdividing the different populations of people who need help. So, you know, you can ask the question, like, why haven't we ended homelessness? And it's almost like in the Bible, practically, we're like the poor, which would probably not be the word of choice anymore, will always be with us kind of thing. Well, you can't just say that and then go about your business. You also have to say, like, well, why haven't we? And actually work together to figure out what we could do and what steps we can have to take. I mean, me as a director, like, I've always had the end goal of wanting to end homelessness. That's always been what I've wanted to do. And so how frustrating is that to come 2 years after the pandemic and see a population double all of a sudden across the country?
Right.
So what are we going to do? That's when I'm really kind of happy that in the Lehigh Valley, we have a strong network of people to really think about strategy in this way.
Okay. You mentioned all these different entities, right? We've talked about government resources as well. Who ultimately should be accountable for systemic problems like poverty, homelessness, and food insecurity?
So, again, I mean, I sort of said this before. Like, I think it's a full community. I think a really good example is that, especially, and again, my world is low-income families and an unhoused population. The COVID pandemic really pointed to how a community can come together. And if you look at statistics for the poverty line specifically, nationwide, but also here in the Lehigh Valley and even right here in Bethlehem, it was a true dip. Like, we were able to solve temporarily an issue. Homelessness actually did go down a little bit during the pandemic. We had fewer people. There is at one point, we see 100 people now. There is at one point during the pandemic, only like 40, 50 people were coming through. Still kind of, that's 40, 50 people a day, but it's not 150 people a day, for example. And the reason was because there was a governmental part and there was also a private sector part.
Right.
More money was going into the effort. Mm-hmm. People were donating these one-time donations to organizations because we were concerned about the issue that was going on. Families were receiving more support. Just even my own family was receiving more support through, you know, different government operations. All of that was helpful to all of us. It either allowed us to give more or it allowed the family to survive in a better way. Mm-hmm. And that went away. And when that went away was when we saw that increase. We literally saw an elimination or a reduction of support. Mm. And so that community support is tangible, and we have examples as to periods of time when the community all rallied around. But what we need is the community to always be all rallying around so that people don't fall through the cracks so much.
Right. Okay. So it's community, but it's all the different pieces of a community together. Okay. Thank you for your time, John Mark. This is Valley Voices. My next guest is Sandra Bieber, Chief Philanthropy Officer with Community Action Lehigh Valley. That nonprofit is one of the largest nonprofits in the Lehigh Valley, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And it works to improve the quality of life in the Lehigh Valley and surrounding areas by building communities in which all people have access to economic opportunity. Now, that is a nutshell for an organization that does a lot of different things, yeah. From financial services access, entrepreneurship, small business training, how to start your own business, running the largest food bank, Second Harvest, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing a ton of things, a lot of different programs. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have some good thoughts, I think, on this opinion piece mm-hmm. that talks about the need for accountability at nonprofits, because you get a lot of federal money, you get state money,
yeah.
and you've got a lot of people to be accountable to.
Absolutely.
So the organization's work addresses poverty from a number of directions, as mm-hmm. I mentioned. Mm-hmm. When you read the argument in that opinion piece that nonprofits should be held accountable for whether poverty and other underlying problems are measurably declining, what do you think that gets right and what does it get wrong?
Well, thanks for, first of all, having me on and giving me the space to have an opinion on this. And I think you've been in this nonprofit world for a long time. And, you know, for me personally, understanding what this accountability argument got right is that it's accountability, right? We need to be accountable to the metrics that we've put forward to our donors, to the federal government, whether we've given it to for grants, the state and local government, and of course, the community in which we serve. So sometimes there are measures that deviate from that. So for me personally, I think what they got wrong, poverty has many different roots. And that's what it got wrong. Nonprofits are not meant to be the, you know, the Band-Aid or the one person fixes it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have a job if that would be the case. It is the federal government, the local and the state government. It is the community members. It is the individuals that we serve. It's all of us, the businesses that get together as a community to be able to stop a systemic problem. And any nonprofit leader, they want you, any good nonprofit leader, they want you to get them out of a job, work them out of a job. If there is no problem, if I would walk into work one day and they said, hey, guess what? Nobody is homeless.
Mm.
Well, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or, hey, nobody is hungry. Well, that's just an amazing day. Yes,
right.
I may have lost a job. I may have an entire industry may have gone south, but people are on their way to stability. But that's not the case.
Right. Not one organization can possibly take care of a systemic problem.
Yes.
There's a lot of systems at play.
Yes.
Right? So the op-ed also argues that nonprofits may be financially incentivized to continue managing problems because grants and donations continue as long as the need exists. You just kind of alluded to this, saying you'd love to not have a job one day doing this, working on these fixes. But as you're working inside the sector, how do you respond to that premise?
It is disappointing. When I saw the article, at first, my blood ran a little bit red.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of nonprofits leaders can attest to that, because nonprofits are the invisible force behind what this society as a whole can bring. We are holding what quality of life is needed. And I beg the question, what would happen if all nonprofits didn't exist?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, there's a reason we have a nonprofit sector in this country.
Correct.
When you compare us to other countries,
mm-hmm.
and I know this from my work in economic development, mm-hmm. that it was hard to get some of these internationally owned companies to understand why they needed to be corporate philanthropists.
Yeah.
You know, their response was, why isn't the government doing this?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And this is a, you know, it's a kind of unique thing in the United States. I'm not an expert on that, but, you know, there's a danger in assuming that continued or increasing demand for nonprofit services means those organizations haven't been effective. I mean, you're really working with very little, right?
Absolutely. That is the key word here. Very little.
Right.
When you're talking about the scope of the problem and millions of dollars being cut, especially in these past couple of years from the federal government and also the pass-through dollars that come in through the state, being able to see how the decrease in food distribution from Second Harvest Food Bank because of the funding cuts that we've relied on for 4 or 5 decades. Mm-hmm. Community Action Lehigh Valley was founded on the principle as a commission from the federal government in the 1960s to go out and to eliminate poverty, right? To support and to help people get out of poverty. Now, we are doing that, but there needs to be an action plan from all levels to be able to really help people get out of poverty, but not increasing the minimum wage, which
right,
and that is a perplexing conundrum, because for someone to say that $7.25 is great, working, you know, then you have folks that are working 3-4 jobs. Where are they going to get childcare? Rent has increased significantly. The prices of food have increased significantly. Working class families are now going into debt, mm-hmm. to buy their groceries. Mm. So imagine someone that is in between a rock and a hard place, cannot find housing, cannot find childcare, is struggling with mental illness, is struggling with so many medical problems.
Right.
You know, those are things that nonprofits alleviate and support. That's that invisible resource that people don't know about. And that's the beauty about America and American nonprofits, is that we are a resource-rich country in the sense that people can go to a nonprofit for support, whether it be a homeless shelter and ask, a 211. They can go to a Community Action Lehigh Valley and ask to be connected to buy a business or to begin a business through the Rising Tide Community Loan Fund. They want to put their children through school through the Generation Next program, right? Mm. To get their children prepared with SAT prep. First generation. These are people that are going to a first generation trade school or a college or university. So this is really helping them even the playing field, because what's the greatest equalizer? Education.
Right.
We try to break poverty at all levels. And so, yeah. So when you say manage the problem, or and that, you know, the demand for nonprofits aren't effective, I really disagree with that wholeheartedly, because we are working day in and day out. We see our frontline workers that support people, and the increase is just keeps going up and up and up.
Yeah. Community Action does both direct service and work intended to address root causes, as you said. Like, yeah, you'd love to eliminate the need for your nonprofit. How do you distinguish between helping someone through an immediate crisis and creating longer term systemic change? Do we need both? Can one exist without the other?
One cannot exist without the other. There is no way. A family of 4 or a family of 5 needs food now. They're not going to wait for a law to pass or their minimum wage to pass, right? I mean, that would be a huge problem, right? I think being able to advocate, and that's what Community Action Lehigh Valley does very well, is advocate on behalf of constituents and people that are suffering in our community. And we can go to the policymakers, we can go to the lawmakers, we can go to the people in power and say, this is what we're seeing. We need your help. We can go to the donors and say, I know that your funds can help support these, you know, missions and this crisis. Can you support us? And one thing about the Lehigh Valley and our donors, and I've seen it firsthand, they are generous and they are good and they want to help. And just being able to trust a nonprofit and knowing what is best for the people, because we serve them day in and day out, is really important. And they do more and more. And, you know, these unrestricted funds being able to give to general operating so that we can do the work that we're doing effectively and to use the money wisely is really great.
The author also asks donors to look beyond outputs. Mm-hmm. So meals served, workshops held, people reached, and instead demand durable outcomes, mm-hmm. right? Like we're talking about this huge systemic change. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that part of his argument? And what should good nonprofit outcome measurement actually look like?
I do believe that donors should look beyond outputs to durable outcomes. You know, meals served and people reach are important, but they're only part of this. They're not really not the only part of the story. We should ask the question, what changed because of our intervention? Community action, that can mean someone becoming a homeowner, increasing their income, reducing debt, completing a degree, or achieving financial stability. Good measurement should look at meaningful outcomes, not just activity.
Okay. But to be clear, that's not eliminating the actual root cause or the root issue. It's just, it's a step further than just we serve this many meals. It's saying we actually help this person change the trajectory of their life so that they could get to the next level that they needed to get to.
There is a story about a gentleman who was a shelter resident with his grandmother at the Sixth Street Shelter. He grew up in the shelter system and he, you know, went to school and we supported him in so many different ways. That individual became an apprentice within our weatherization program. And the weatherization program helps give people heat and cool, right? Mm-hmm. So if your heating breaks, we fix that. If your cooling breaks, we fix that. And we support you in that. So he was able to build a business around that. Mm-hmm. And not only did he get out of the shelter, he was able to have his own business, and he became the president of the Rising Tide Community Loan Fund Board. Dawn Gottschall, our CEO, tells a story where he takes her up on the airplane for the annual meeting, his airplane that he purchased. And so when you think about a full circle moment like that and how we affected a trajectory in someone's life that way and how he's supported and, you know, really gave individuals a great trajectory as well.
That's a really great story to show the impact that a nonprofit can have on somebody's life. Mm-hmm. Do you think the public fully understands how much work that might otherwise fall to government or other institutions that is currently being carried out by the nonprofit sector?
I think that the work of a nonprofit is not just 9 to 5. It is long hours. It is carrying the emotion and the stress of some of the people that we serve, especially our frontline workers that have to deal with traumas of individuals that they serve day in and day out and the stories that they carry with them. For me, I get to see the philanthropy end of it, and it's beautiful to be able to talk to a donor and then they want to give to support and help alleviate a problem. And then we get to see that measured out and worked out through our recipients at the shelter, or whether it be the food bank, or they just got a loan because they wanted to start their own small business and they're succeeding. So those are things that we get to see firsthand. But I don't think that people have a clue. I think that, you know, articles like this just think that nonprofits exist and, you know, people should just get off of SNAP and they should just get off of these benefits and, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But that doesn't always work for everybody. I wish there was more empathy in our communities. Mm. I pray for more peace for people to understand how their neighbors are going through. You know, if they're going through a medical crisis or a mental health problem, or that they need help just in that month just to get by.
Right.
And how can we be better neighbors? And that's the whole philosophy of America and how we were built to help one another. So I think that's the pursuit of helping one another and being there for one another. I think that's what nonprofits do best, is bring individuals where they are needed most. Whether you're a volunteer, we bring you in. Whether you are a donor, we bring you in. Whether you're someone that is in need of support, we'll, you know, get you around the table to help support. But government is in charge of their, you know, their end of it. And we're in charge, business is in charge, and of course the recipients are in charge
as well.
Right,
it's an all-in effort.
Yes.
So final question. If you could rewrite the central question of this op-ed, instead of asking why haven't nonprofits solved these problems, what question do you think our community should be asking?
Instead of asking why haven't nonprofits solved these problems, really, what will it take for all of us to address the conditions that create the problems in the first place, right? Mm. I think that's what I would ask. Again, if you could work us out of a job, please try. Please do so.
Right.
We want you to understand that we're here to serve the community. We're here to serve our neighbors in most need, because if we don't exist, where would those people go?
Right.
How bad would the problem be?
Right. I mean, I'm going to add, you know, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I would add that, you know, the donors that help these organizations that step in because they see the gaps, there's an advocacy role for them as well.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, so every individual has the power to change the trajectory of these systemic issues through their voice, their vote, reaching out. It's how they elect who's getting elected.
Absolutely.
The decisions that are impacting these problems mm-hmm. that the nonprofits then put a Band-Aid on.
That's right.
Each person has the power.
That's right.
To influence change.
And our CEO, Don Godshall, wrote an op-ed on this, and it was extremely eloquent. And it hit all the points, right? We'll teach somebody to fish.
Right.
Right. That's what we do. And everybody needs to learn. So if you're going to be holding the fishing rod, we'll put the bait on, right? And somebody will supply the bait for us. We have to work together to find the systemic root of it and eradicate it and or alleviate it so that it's really no longer there in that right. way.
Well, thank you for joining me, Sandra Bieber from Community Action. You've been listening to Valley Voices on the impact and the outcomes and measurements of nonprofits. Thanks so much.